You have tuned in to Open Mic on CJSF Radio, broadcasting on 90.1 FM from Burnaby Mountain, BC.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Open Mic. It's been a while, but my name is Varian. I'm kind of been floating around the station at CJSF, like doing open mics and doing jambalayas before when they were called jambalayas since about like 2019. I wasn't able to get a spot at the radio station this semester, but today kind of commemorates like my last day at SFU and, you know, I guess, you know, also my last day probably at CJSF. I know that I'm always welcome back, but, you know, I don't really foresee me coming back to, I don't live in Burnaby, so I don't really foresee me coming back to the radio station all that much. So I thought, you know, I'd pop in today at my last day just to see if I could get a slot. And luckily this 2 p.m. slot was available, which was kind of like Thursdays were kind of my day for a little bit too for a while. So I'm really happy to be here sort of doing one last send-off for the show. But on the outset of our programming today, I'd like to acknowledge that CJSF broadcasts atop Burnaby Mountain on the unceded ancestral territories of the Kwikalem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations. Got a bit of a different show for you guys. Maybe it might be a little bit less music focused. I definitely have a playlist today that I just cobbled up in the last like 30 minutes with Connor's help. Thank you. But I just want to like talk a little bit today and, you know, use this kind of time to talk about my time at university and, you know, maybe inspire someone else to come and do radio. So that's my hope for today. But let's start off with some music here first. For my first track of the week, for my first track, I've got a song by Victoria Vark. Here is I Pushed It Down on CJSF 90.1 FM.
I'm just trying to keep up. I'm losing my breath. Feels like I'm gaining miles. But here comes a headwind. I'm gaining some stability. Getting thrown around and my stomach's empty. Living life's impermanence. To get been pretty hectic lately. I could spend a day here. I could spend a day here lying in the sun, feeling like I'm far away. Let's wake up and watch the sunrise. Meditate on the beach. Sit on the hammock under moonlight. Read a book and drink some tea. Grab a coffee in the morning. Watch the people walking by. Slow it down but keep talking. Step back from all the noise inside.
Today, we're looking at an owl that nests underground, lives in colonies, and hides its food. Even the sound it makes is unusual. Yipes! The hiss of a burrowing owl sounds just like a dangerous rattlesnake, which is a great way to scare off potential predators. Unlike most other owls, burrowing owls are diurnal. They're awake during the day, and then they sleep at night. Burrowing owls often nest in the abandoned underground tunnels of prairie dogs and ground squirrels. And even though their bodies aren't designed for digging, they can use their beaks to excavate dirt, renovating an existing burrow to meet their needs. Cowboys riding western rangelands have a nickname for these little owls. They call them howdy birds for the way they bob up and down in front of their nests. A burrowing owl is about as big as a can of beans on stilts. Between the long legs, bright yellow eyes, and signature bobbing salute, these little birds are comical members of the western ecosystem. So, if you ever find yourself on the open rangelands of the West, be sure to tip your hat to the burrowing owl. You may get a bobbing howdy in reply. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
And welcome back. That last track for the PSA right there was a song called Slip Away by Landon Morris. Was kind of caught off guard there. The song opened with him saying he was going to shave his balls. So that was kind of crazy. Yeah, anyway. Today's show will be a little bit more, I kind of do want to like talk, and I think it's my show, so I can do whatever I want, but yeah, I mean, I think I wanted to talk a little bit like, you know, I think today is my last day at school, and feeling like a little bit like melancholy, I would say, like feeling a little bittersweet about the whole thing. I've been at this school for like way too long. I mean, I started college when I was like fresh out of high school at 18, and you know, I mean, wasn't an easy path, but you know, here I am at age 25, 7 years later, finally getting my stinking degree. So I'm pretty happy about that. It's definitely somewhere for the longest time that I didn't think I was going to accomplish, but you know, I kind of really, you know, throughout all of that, I feel very fondly about, you know, my involvement with like CJSF. I think, you know, when I came to the school, and you know, maybe a lot of other people, I don't know if there's a lot of, you know, SFU alumni or SFU students that tune in to CJSF, but I find the school like a little bit hard to make friends, especially in my early years. I think I really wished in my early years that I was like living on campus or something to get the university experience, and I was able to like make friends. When you're in your like first year classes, sometimes it can be really hard to like make, you know, meaningful connections that like sort of withstand outside of classes, just because like, you know, you've got huge lecture halls and everybody's in these like entry level courses that, you know, no one really knows what their path looks like. And so, yeah, I think for the longest time, I think SFU in my first 2 years was really hard for me because I just didn't feel like I belonged and didn't really know like who my friends were and where to find them. And so, yeah, I mean, I think probably at the start, I would say probably at the start of my second year in university in like 2019 at Clubs Day, like pulled up to the booth, like, you know, got some information about CJSF and they got me on the pipeline for like getting board trained and, you know, doing my first like demo. I remember I did my demo like together with some other guy. I don't know if he ever ended up doing anything with it, but I remember it was so fun. Like we put together like a really funny like playlist just through songs that we both had on our phone, and you know, recorded little like chops and, you know, played our PSAs and tried to talk and stuff. And man, looking back at that time, like I think about how nervous and uncomfortable I was like doing radio. I mean, I still kind of feel like I remember little bits about that initiation paper. It was like I remember there was a fact about like, you know, be sure to enunciate and speak up, and like, you know, it's like a known fact that people, you know, hate the sound of their voice because it doesn't sound the same when it comes out, when you hear it, you know, vibrating in your bones versus like hearing it from an external source. And yeah, I mean, I think I look back at that of like how nervous I was to like do a live radio segment, wondering, you know, who was on the other end, and comparing it to now where like I just like strolled in on a whim from the student union building and just popped in and asked if I could do a show, and had like maybe 40 to 30 minutes tops to prep for it and can kind of just wheel in and run it. And that makes me feel really good. I think that also shows me a little bit about, you know, maybe like how I've grown confidence wise as a person. But I think, you know, because of how isolating SFU has been for me, it does feel like that this place was such like an outlet for me. I think, you know, at the time, I mean, it was kind of funny. I feel like at the time, everybody my age was like really into trying to like be a producer. This was like hot after like 2017, 2018, like, you know, Pierre Bourne, like you can make beats on a MacBook by yourself and, you know, make, you know, so I was doing that like kind of cringe stuff, like trying to make like trap beats. And, you know, I think that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do something a little bit more creative. And so I got involved with the radio, hoping that like one day I'm going to make some beats or something and like play them on air and it's going to be so sick, or maybe I'm going to get discovered or something. That obviously never happened, and I never ended up really making any beats. But I think what radio was for me was like really just a chance to take a break between classes. I think it was like, honestly, for, you know, maybe for, to my detriment, I think it was like the priority of my scheduling. I would, you know, really like look for the radio time and then schedule my classes around that time so I could keep a jambalaya opening at the time, because I really loved, you know, just coming to the radio station between my classes being like, oh yeah, sorry guys, I gotta go, like going to my radio, you know, going to my radio volunteership, you know, no biggie. And, you know, going, remember, like I just had this whole system, like coming in like, you know, an hour early before my show. Also because I was like really nervous and I didn't know what to talk about. I probably didn't talk about a whole lot, to be honest. I was probably like mostly playing music. But, you know, nowadays, you know, I basically only play things that I find on the CGSF archive here. Like we've got like a big server that Connor upkeeps, and, you know, he puts up with like all kinds of new music every week. So there's always something fresh in there. Before, I used to like go in and thumb through like the stacks upon stacks of shelves of vinyl records, and that's how I'd build my playlist. And, you know, I know there was probably also like a digital way to access it before. I just like never bothered. I think, you know, I think I was a little bit enamored, never, you know, touching a record player before, like ever, never like handling vinyl records before, I think. And so it made it really hard to find my music, to be honest. I still remember like looking through and memorizing the color coding scheme of knowing, you know, what music was CanCon and, you know, where it was. Or, you know, I would also like thumb through the CDs and like, you know, I would just take like a whole stack of CDs and take it to the little like sampler and just like listen to it quickly and try to like, you know, write down my playlist in time for my show. And, you know, I would always be like super nervous about not having an hour's worth of music, and I was definitely not going to fill the air with talking. So, you know, I have such good memories of like looking through those music, and I think it was just like a good escape from between classes. I think it was really nice to like, okay, well, like, you know, I have tons of overdue assignments, but it's okay. Right now is the time that I need to focus on my, you know, show that I'm going to present in an hour. And so I'm just going to enjoy myself and listen to music. And, you know, I think, you know, I think that was really, really good for me at the time. I think it kept me, you know, honestly, like probably the only reason I was showing up to school was to go and honestly, like look through all the old music and look through all these vinyls and like, you know, try to like find cool new music and stuff. I would, you know, I would even go and just, you know, browse through the music even when I didn't have a show. I remember, like, you know, when CGSF had the station right over the bus loop. And oh my God, that was so great. Like coming up from the bus loop, you could see into Studio A and you could sit in Studio A and like look down at the bus loop. There was like a view and, you know, we were just talking about how there was used to be like, you know, a speaker outside that used to play like music all the time of what was on the air. Like it, you know, that radio station was definitely like a bit of a rat's nest. It was probably there for forever. I imagine since like the 70s. It was pretty, a little gnarly, but, you know, it had some character. And it was 24 hours. Like, I remember once Robin wasn't there to let me in to the radio station or something on, like, during Christmas or whatever, and asked if I still wanted to do a show. So she gave me the code, the pin to get into the door. And so for the rest of the semester, like, after my late night classes, I would go in there and no one would be in the radio station. And I would just, like, you know, browse through and listen to records and just, like, not want to go home and just, you know, do my homework and, you know, or bring friends into Studio B and listen to records over there and just like kind of hang out. I remember bringing Brendan up there a couple of times just to go listen to the Sturgill Simpson record and whatnot. And yeah, I mean, you know, I think, you know, it gave me something to do and still has given me something to do when I come up to SFU. Like I always look forward to it. And, you know, I also think that it was a big part of, you know, getting me through COVID too. School was like, you know, already bad enough as is when we weren't during COVID times. It was so much worse when we were in COVID times. I didn't do anything and I was just so depressed at home. And that's about the time that me and my future roommate Patrick put together a podcast. It was so ambitious. It was so like bad. And all honestly, like I hope you're not listening to Patrick, but our show sucked. Like it was so bad. It was called Two Asian Dudes at the Show. We thought we were so funny for being like, you know, token Chinese kids, you know, like involved in, you know, radio. I don't know. I don't know what we thought. We were just like kind of edgy, but you know, we just do this like 2 hour long, you know, podcast radio show about like topics we just had no business talking about. Like, you know, at some point Patrick convinced me to do these like album reviews and like I didn't know anything about music. And honestly, like we got to the point where like I didn't even listen to the album in time for my radio show. You know, I would just skim through it. And so Patrick had obviously like listened to this album before like several times. Like I think I remember like the Swans album that we reviewed, and I was just so like I had nothing to say about it. Like, and it's not like we were gonna listen to the whole album live, but you know, I just remember like Patrick had so much to say about it and I just had nothing at all to say about the album because I didn't listen to it, and honestly I didn't really like it that much, you know. But I probably said that I liked it, and you know, I think, you know, looking back, like I still have some of those radio shows saved. Like, oh my God, it was so much content, so much work and so much to edit. But I look back at those and think they're pretty cringe, but I think that probably helped me get through COVID too. Like, I think, you know, I was so far away from Patrick. Like, you know, we were just like, he was living in Richmond, I was living in Vancouver, so far away from my friends. It was just an opportunity for us to like collaborate and make something. And honestly, like, I just feel like that really got me through a lot just by like, you know, every week like coming home and putting it together and, you know, recording a show with my buddy, you know, was just so great. And I mean, you know, I'm sure Robin probably remembers something else because I was like so lazy about it. Like, you know, we were really good about it for like the first maybe like 8 or 7 weeks. Like we did like maybe like 14 hours of content, and then I was just like phoning in every week. Like I was just over it. Like 2 hours was just way too long of a show. And like, you know, I was just like playing the replays over and over again every week. I'm sure Robin didn't love that, but you know, I was busy skating. And so yeah, I mean, you know, I do think I really was, you know, I think looking back, like I think I'm surprised how much I loved, you know, doing radio. I look back at it now and like what it's meant for me, and this, you know, it being a space for me to like come and sit, you know, sit in the studio, feel like I'm in my like pod, you know, it's just such a great thing. And, you know, I really do love radio, and, you know, I love, you know, the music I find every week, and just, you know, having such, like, you know, an eclectic, you know, library of songs that I've listened to feels really good. And so, yeah, I don't know, you know, that's my story about radio. And, you know, hopefully that maybe inspires some of you guys to come check out radio. And, you know, it doesn't have to be CGSF, but, you know, check out your local, like, radio station, you know? I mean, you know, if you're at UBC or something, like, check out CITR. Like, there's tons of those things. Community radio is awesome. It's just so fun, you know? I still remember, like, one of the things, my last thought, and we're going to get into some music because I've been rambling here, but I still remember, like, one of the things my therapist told me once, because I think he did like student radio as well in college, but he told me once that I have a face for radio, which I thought was so funny. Anyways, we're gonna get to some music here. Here is a track by Cloakroom. It's called On Joy and Unbelieving here on CJSF 90.1 FM.